And Dorothy is going to come and read the scriptures to us.
Right, it's from Matthew 8, verses 1 to 17. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, it will be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast them out. He cast out the spirits, and with a word he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "He took all our illnesses and bore our diseases."
I wonder what you felt when Dorothy was reading that passage. What was sort of ticking over in your mind and thoughts? Is this of any significance for my life? A story about a man with leprosy? About a centurion servant? And about Peter's mother-in-law? You know, who were these people? And what significance can they possibly have for our lives today? Well, Matthew thinks that this story is of great significance. Matthew, the gospel writer who recorded these stories, was himself a disciple of Jesus Christ and had spent 3 years with him. And he felt that this was of such great significance that he wrote it down so that other people could read about it and that their lives could be impacted by it. The other people, of course, are ourselves today. And the original hearers of this, or readers of this gospel, were Jewish people. And Matthew was writing to them, and his aim and purpose in writing to them was to show them that Jesus Christ was indeed God's eternal Son, the long-awaited Messiah that was spoken of in the Old Testament for hundreds of years, and that in his life was fulfilled everything that was spoken in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before it happened. And what Matthew shows us is when we follow Jesus through the stories in Matthew's Gospel, we find a man who walks around leaving the footprints and the fingerprints of God wherever he goes, because he was himself God the Son, eternal. And we find in Jesus Christ the attributes, the properties, and the qualities of God, because he was God. And that's what Matthew wants us to see and to learn from the gospel that he wrote. This is why Jesus can do things that are against the natural laws. No man can go out and make sick people better just with a word or by touching them. None of us can do that. So in Jesus Christ, we see the properties and the qualities of God. Now, this passage has a number of significant healings. We got the healing of the leper, we got the healing of the centurion's servant, and of Peter's mother-in-law, with a number of others that are mentioned there as well. Why are they significant? Well, it shows us that Jesus has power to do something that the rest of us cannot do. And it also shows us something of the nature of the people that Jesus is saving. The people that Jesus reaches into their lives in this passage were people that were very insignificant in the culture and the society of the time. Lepers were outcasts. The centurion here was a Gentile, a non-Jew. They were of little account. They were referred to as Gentile dogs by the Jews. And then, of course, there were women. But nobody talked about women in that society. They all had to walk a few steps behind the men because they weren't very significant. But Jesus shows here that everybody is significant. And this is why when we get to the end of Matthew's Gospel, at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he says to his disciples after his crucifixion and resurrection, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You see, all the nations of the world are significant to Jesus. And the peoples of the world are significant to him. Now, I just want us to focus for a short time this morning on the first four verses of Matthew's chapter 8. Now, there are four very short verses about this man with leprosy, but they have so much to tell us about Jesus Christ, and they have so much to tell us about those that come to him for help and who come looking for him and searching for him. But actually, it is Jesus that's looking and came to search and seek and save that which was lost. Now, Matthew sets the scene for us. He says, "When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Notice Matthew's attention to historical detail there. He says, when he came down from the mountain, this is something that really happened. Jesus has just finished preaching what we call the Great Sermon on the Mountain. And the response was that people were astonished by the things that Jesus said. They heard somebody speak in such a way that they had never heard anybody speak before. His words were impacting. They were shattering to hear and to listen to, grasping and making sense and reality to people's lives that were ruined and broken and destroyed. And certainly the leper was one of those. Now, the leper would have been sitting at a distance because of the laws and the regulations of the Jewish society at the time. But he was close enough to hear what Jesus said. He was close enough to know that what Jesus said made sense. And it was close. He was close enough to know that he needed Jesus for himself. And well, first thing I want us to look at this morning is the outcast. This is the leper, the outcast. I think the children have got a sheet there. So if they're looking for that first heading, it's the outcast. You want to write that down. The outcast. Matthew tells us very little about this man. Why? Well, in the Jewish time of the Jewish society, when this was written, in the ancient world, leprosy was very common. So it was enough to say a man with leprosy. Everybody got the picture if you said a man with leprosy. It's a bit like in our own day if we talk about HIV or cancer. We know how devastating these illnesses are. So the people that received this gospel understood how devastating that illness was. And because, as I mentioned, the laws and the regulations of the Jewish society, as we find in the Old Testament, lepers were outside often of the camp of God's people. And they were often marginalized and carried a stigma around with them. Of course, in God's purposes, God had laws and regulations to show, really to limit the spread of disease and illness. And God always had people's hearts, the very best intentions. And if you want to make a note, you can look this up in Leviticus 13 and 14 later on today, if you want. But leprosy also symbolized, if you like, it symbolized sin. It was, and shows us something of the terrible, horrible, devastating nature of sin. And all the ceremonial laws and things that we read about in the Old Testament serve to show us one thing, really. That God in his holiness, man in his sinfulness. God in his exaltedness, man in his fallenness. That God is other than man and man is other than God. That God is different to ourselves. And yet, God is our creator. And God is the one that has always wanted to be in a relationship with people. Now, leprosy was a destroyer. It destroyed a person physically, depending on the nature of that disease, emotionally, psychologically. It banished him to loneliness. And that was against God's good purposes in his creation. Because God's good purposes was, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be isolated. It's not good for man to be banished. It's not good for man to be outside. And it's definitely not good for man to be outside of a relationship with God. So who was this man? Well, in the eyes of the society that he lived in, disease was always linked with sin. It was thought by people, if you had an illness, you must have done something terrible against God. Well, it is true, of course, that we can bring back all disease and illness to the original fall when man sinned against God. That's where it stems from. But if somebody has an illness or disease, it doesn't mean to say that they've done something in their own lives. It's because we're living in a fallen world. Well, we need to see this through a biblical lens. Who was this man? Well, firstly, he was made in the image of God. That's what Scripture tells us. Let us make man in our own image. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the image of God, he created them male and female. And we're told also in Scripture, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, in Psalm 139. Who was this man? Well, he was some mother's son, that's for sure. Like the rest of us, he came into this world. He was born. Some mother had labored in the pains of childbirth to give him birth and life. And when he was born, he was precious to her, of great value. The pride and joy, no doubt, of his father. Part of a heritage and part of a community. It's wonderful to be part of a family. Who was this man? He was probably a husband and a father himself. We don't know. But in that culture, it would be very unusual for somebody not to be married. And it was all stripped away because of leprosy, stripped away from him. I wonder if you've ever heard the song, The Fields of Athenry. Fields of Athenry. It's about a guy that stole some corn, an Irish guy, from a Scotsman called Trevelyan. And he's been shipped out to the penal colonies on this ship, and he's waiting for the last hour, and he says, by the lowly harbour wall, I watched the last hour fall, and I heard a young girl call, Michael, they have taken you away, for you stole Trevelyan's corn. Our love was on the wing, we'd dreams and songs to sing, but it's so lonely now, here, round the fields of Athenry. You see, this in one sense was the leper. He had dreams, ambitions, and songs, and plans, and things to sing. And it all came suddenly to a shattering end in his life. Maybe that's true of ourselves this morning. You've had plans and dreams and ambitions and great things that is planned for your life, but it can come shattering to an end just like that, young or old. If you've ever seen the film Anne of Green Gables, it's about this orphan girl that's being shipped from one home to another and often being treated really badly during it. And there's a point in the film where she's in this orphanage and she's looking into this mirror. And the matron comes in and says, Anne, are you not in bed yet? And she just says, my life is a perfect graveyard of buried hopes. My life is a perfect graveyard of buried hopes. Well, that was the leper. His life was a perfect graveyard of buried hopes. He had nothing, nothing to hope for. And you know, that may be true of you today. Our lives, we're here today, but our lives may be underneath a graveyard of buried hopes, shattered, destroyed, ruined, and in need. You know, if a man is an alcoholic, then that will have impacts on his life and on his family. And his children will perhaps be underfed and underclothed, and they will become lepers in the society. And he may himself become a leper to his own family and his home. And if a man is unfaithful to his marriage vows, then that will have an impact on his family. And he may become a stranger to his children, having limited access to them. If a teenager is involved in drugs or alcohol, well, that may bring heartache and shattering pain to the lives of the parents. And the dimensions of the family life will be torn apart and ruined and shattered. Well, maybe we're not guilty of any of these sins, but maybe we're just selfish inside, and maybe we've had an impact on other people's lives. you see, the outcast. Sin is like a spiritual leprosy, and it brings loneliness, and it brings regret, and it brings shame, and it brings a sense of need to our lives. Where do we go with that? When everything's fallen apart, when the ground has fallen from under us, where do we go? Well, this man went to Jesus. That's where he went. He said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Notice how he kneels down before Jesus with great respect. And he uses the word Lord. And when he's coming to Jesus, he realizes he's coming to someone that has power and authority and standing with God. And he says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And also he wants to be clean, because the word unclean in the Jewish society, and he was an unclean man because he had leprosy, was the word the most that carried the most stigma in the vocabulary of the Jewish people. But he comes to Jesus, and when he comes to Jesus, there is the resurrection of all his buried hopes. You see, in Jesus Christ is the resurrection of our buried hopes. "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the man. And he says, "I'm willing, be clean." Second thing, touched by God. Touched by God. Notice immediately he was clean. Immediately he was cured. Immediately his leprosy has disappeared. It's the actions and the words. Did Jesus need to touch this man to heal him? No, he didn't. Because when we read the next story, Jesus healed the centurion's leper, the centurion's servant, without even going to the house. He did it from a distance. And there's an importance in this touch. It's the compassion of God in this touch. When had anybody last touched this man? Most people would have been ready to stone him and to say, "Don't come near me, you leper, with your leprosy." That's how they were treated in that society. But Jesus touches him. And in the touch, Jesus humanizes him. And in the touch, Jesus dignifies him. And in the touch, Jesus is saying, "Your life matters. Your life has value and meaning and importance to God." And secondly, when Jesus touches him, it is as if he takes the disease upon himself. Not that he becomes a leper, but as we read there in verse 17, surely he carried our illnesses. That's what the prophet said in the Old Testament about Jesus. Surely he carried our illnesses or our diseases. And thirdly, when Jesus touches this man, he is identifying with the most destitute and the most outcast people in the Jewish society. The no-hopers, those that have got no hope, that are completely on the outside. And people just look down on them as no hope. Why bother? But Jesus puts hope into the no-hopers. And Jesus puts life into the dead. Jesus has power to do what we have not. And when Jesus touches this man, it's also Jesus identifying, because himself, Jesus would become the ultimate leper. He would become the ultimate leper. You see, Jesus himself, when he would die on the cross, would be the ultimate outcast. He would be the man that would be barred access to men and barred access to God. He'd be cast into a great black hole, from where light, meaning, and reason were absent. Only the judgment of God on behalf of sinful people such as ourselves. Jesus Christ became the ultimate leper. This is why he touches the man. Matthew's pointing us forward to something that's coming on the cross. Now, the man is healed immediately. And we all like a happy ever after story, isn't it? It's always the happy ever after story. Isn't that nice? He was healed. He was cured. Well, there's more to it than that, isn't there? There's more to it. And very briefly, the Lordship of Jesus. The Lordship of Jesus. You see, when we come to Jesus for help and healing, it's not that we just say, "Well, thanks very much, Jesus. That's good now. We're off. That's better. We've been sorted." When we come to Jesus for help and for the forgiveness of our sins, actually what we're saying is, "You're my Lord now. You're not just my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my Lord." You see, Jesus has to be both Savior and Lord. And we say that because he gives the man a commandment here. "Go and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony or as proof for them." The word there, testimony, can be, it has the idea of factual evidence, factual proof of what's taken place in your life. And in a few minutes, we're going to be baptizing Fiona. And what we're doing when we're baptizing Fiona is she's testifying to evidence that Jesus has worked in her life and that he has become her Lord and her Savior. So this baptism this morning is Fiona's public testimony that Jesus Christ has saved her. And she's doing this in obedience because the Bible says, believe and be baptized. So she, just as the leper was given a command, we've been given a command, believe and be baptized. And baptism symbolizes cleansing and washing from sin. It symbolizes when we go into the water here that it's a cleansing. That we're doing now physically what's taken place in the heart, spiritually, what God has done. And this is Fiona's testimony this morning, that she's been cleansed and washed of her sin, and that she's trusting in Jesus, and that she's under his lordship, and she wants everybody to know that publicly, that she's under his lordship, and she's going to live for him and follow him, and to be a testimony and a witness to all our friends and everybody around her. Of course, we'll be praying for you and helping you as much as we can, Fiona. We all need help and strength. So who then should be baptized? Who should be baptized? Well, the person who knows that their sins have been forgiven, the man or the woman that have met with Jesus, who have been touched by God, the man and the woman, or the young child, who knows in their own heart and Savior, heart and mind, that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and who are prepared to come under his lordship. Of course, we need God's help for that. And there will be many challenges, and we all face challenges as Christians, those of us who are following the Lord. We're not saying we're perfect. We're just saying Jesus is our Lord, and we want to live faithfully for him. And there are challenges, and there are joys with that challenges as well. Remember, Jesus said to us, and this is what he's saying to the leper when he touched him, your life matters. It's valuable, and it's important. And our response to that as well is, your lordship matters. It's important. And I'm following you. And I'm testifying to that. Well, may God bless his word to us. And may he help each of us as we consider that for ourselves this morning.